Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to you again with another Harvest Time broadcast. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege. It's mine to come to your place of listening day after day and share together with you in the study of the Word of God. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll get your Bible and study along with us as we continue our study in the book of Acts concerning missions in actions, our missions in the book of Acts. We're down to chapter number 14 as we close the broadcast on yesterday. As we've been looking at this for several days now, we have just progressively came through these verses of Scripture and these chapters in the book of Acts. We started all the way back in chapter number 1, and we saw in chapter number 1, verse number 8, God's plan for the local church. And we've been building upon that. And of course, that plan is the resurrected Lord said just before his ascension, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And as we continued our study through the book of Acts, we saw in chapter number 2 God's preparation of the church. And then in chapter number 3 through chapter number 5, we saw God's problems with the church there at Jerusalem. You see, that church abandoned the Great Commission. They got hooked, if I could use that expression. They got wrapped up in miracles, in multitudes, and in much money there at home, and forgot the rest of the Great Commission. And so that happened to many churches, even in our day. They do the same thing. But God's plan is that every church be a witness, both at the same time, in their Jerusalem, in their neighboring Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. To use today's language, God wants every church to be involved in reaching sinners across the street, across the state, and across the sea. Everywhere there are sinners, we're to get somebody going and telling them of the goodness and mercy and grace of God. So I said earlier, in chapter number 1 through chapter number 11, we found the Great Commission is abandoned. It's ignored. But then when you come to chapter number 13, the church at Antioch receives again the word from God. The Holy Ghost speaks to them about missions, about sending out Barnabas and Saul, and they respond in a positive manner to carry out the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, let me emphasize one more time, the great church at Jerusalem became a late church because it abandoned and ignored the Great Commission. And any church that belongs to the Lord will not get by very long and be blessed of God if you ignore missions. It's the plan of God that every church be involved in carrying out the Great Commission. So the church at Jerusalem dies. It's dispersed abroad some 35 years or so after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord moves his operational headquarters from Jerusalem down to the church at Antioch. And so God begins to work here through this church, and they send out, in obedience to God, they send out two missionaries by the name of Paul or Saul and Barnabas. And of course, John Mark goes with them to be their helper. So we started looking in these chapters, beginning with chapter number 13 through chapter number 20, at missions activated. They're involved now in carrying out the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw, first of all, the personnel of missions. Where do we get missionaries? We discovered from the Word of God that God calls them. He calls them out of a church And he calls them to a country or to a culture. And then we saw second that the church commissions them. The Bible said in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 3, when they had laid their hands on them and fasted and prayed, they sent them away. There you have the church at Antioch commissioning Barnabas and Saul to the work of missions. And so we saw that missionaries were sent out by the local church. They are supported by local churches, and they're to be subjected to the authority of that local church. And then we move to chapter number 14, and we've been studying now for the last two or three days on God's program for missions, or the program of missions. What does a missionary do when he goes to the foreign field? And I pointed out there are 10 things in Acts chapter 14, verse 21 through verse number 28, that reveal the cycle of the work of the missionary. Let me again point them out quickly. In chapter 14 of the book of Acts, verse number 21, the Bible said they preached the gospel. That's first and foremost in the work of missions. Followed by that is teaching. They taught many. Number three, the job of the missionary is confirming the souls of the disciples. And again, I submit to you, that is not some religious ritual, but that is a ministry of the preaching and teaching of the missionary. And then we found number four in Acts 14:22, that he's to exhort them to continue in the faith. Many have been saved out of other religious backgrounds, and there's a tendency for them to drift back into the culture and tradition that they've been familiar with all the years. So the missionary must be on guard and exhort them to continue. Then we found number five, that the job of the missionary is to ordain elders in every church. That's in verse number 23. Then after they ordain these elders, they're to spend some time just giving them practical training, on-the-job training, as they go through things that come up in the church, and they must pray and fast and watch God work out the things that they cannot work out themselves. So praying and fasting is just practical training, being with the missionary and the missionary being with that young preacher, and let him see firsthand the work of God in hearing and answering prayer. And then we saw number seven in verse number 23, that he's commending them. He's to commend them to the Lord. He is to turn that church over to the Lord and to the new pastor whom he's ordained. He is to step aside. He's not in some position of religious hierarchy over the new pastor in that church, but he must now turn it over to them and go on and begin another ministry for the glory of the Lord. Somebody has said the job of the missionary is to work himself out of a job. But then we found in verse number 24 through verse number 26, and I just mentioned this as we were leaving the broadcast on yesterday, that the eighth portion that's mentioned here in the cycle of the work of the missionary is his returning. The Bible said in verse number 24, after that he had prayed with them and commended them to the Lord, and they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they had fulfilled. So they now return back to their sending church. And that, of course, is the procedure that a missionary goes through. He is sent out by the local church. He remains subject to that local church. He's supported by the local churches. And so now that he's finished the job, he returns. And throughout the years, this has been proven to be the successful thing for missionaries to do. They stay on the field too long sometimes, and many different problems arises. And so it's good. In fact, the average missionary today goes to the mission field and stays there for 4 years, then comes home and reports to his churches and spends some time with his people for 1 year furlough. And then he goes back, and I'll deal with that in just a moment. But he's returning. He leaves them, leaves the church, leaves the new pastor, and returns back home, back to the church that sent him out. And then in verse number 27, we find him reporting to the church. The Bible said, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, They rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And of course, there's a difference in the society of the day of the apostles and our society today. They did not have the means of the telephone or the telegram. They did not have the means of the mail and the computer, the email, and the different methods of electronic media that we have today. And so now then they gather the people together and they report to them what God has done. I am convinced that any missionary that's worth supporting will regularly and constantly be in touch with the people that supports him and keeping them informed as to what God is doing there in the field of his calling. But then there's always that time when he's finished the job that he comes home and he visits his supporting churches and gathers them together and rehearses to them all that God has done. So that brings us down to the last one, and that's in verse number 28. The Bible said, "And there they abode long time with the disciples." I call that section of the cycle of missions resting. They're simply getting some physical, some emotional rest from the stresses and strains and struggles of the mission field and preparing themselves to get ready and go again. And that's the job of the missionary. That's the work that God calls missionaries to do. Let me take just a moment and reiterate them. First of all, in verse number 21, the first and foremost job of the missionary is preaching. Preaching should be the top thing in the program of the missionary. That's his commission. That's his command that's given by the resurrected Lord. Then number two is teaching, establishing them in the word of the Lord. Then number three is confirming their souls, or the souls of the disciples. And again, I emphasize that's just establishing them, training them, and confirming the doctrines that they have been taught from the word of God. And then he's to exhort them, verse number 22, he's to exhort them to continue in the faith and let them know that there will be persecution, there will be trouble, there will be problems, and through much tribulation, we'll enter into the kingdom of God. Then number five, his job is ordaining elders in every church. It's the will of God that every church have their own pastor. And so that's part of the job of the missionary. God will call a preacher to pastor that church, but the missionary ordains them. And then after that, he spends some time with them in practical training, praying and fasting and watching God do things to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he commends them to the Lord. He turns that church over to the new pastor, to the people, and to the Lord. It becomes an indigenous church, and that church then operates completely and totally of its own. The missionary returns, he reports, and then there's a time of resting. And so you have laid out in the book of Acts chapter 14, verse number 21 through verse number 28, God's program for mission work. And I'm convinced this is working today and will work today as missionaries observe that. Well, the Lord willing, we'll continue our study on the next broadcast. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-born privilege that we have of gathering by the radio and studying the Word of God together. Let me encourage you that you pray for the broadcast, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I encourage you that you write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. We're on several radio stations and picking up new ones as the Lord enables us to do so, and I need to hear from you. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at the same time. Tell others about the broadcast. And until the next broadcast, God bless you, is my prayer.